Restraint. Taking it slow. I'm not sure if I actually asked anyone about it before I got on stage for the first time for a solo keyboard show. Well, second. No, third. First time was in the food court of Victoriaville Mall, and the second was at a friend's church service. Both quote-unquote gigs were around 1989, and both times I played a half-completed synth version of Kronos Quartet's version of Jimi Hendrix's Purple Haze with an Insonic ESQ-1 and a Yamaha RX-7 drum machine. The third time was 30 years later, April of 2019. I'd been collecting electronic instruments for a while, and when I was offered a solo gig, I thought, hey, maybe I'll finally do that all synth gig I've been meaning to do for 30 years. Anyway, I did it, and here I am. I'd been watching lots of videos on gear, performing live, and how to make an all synthesizer live set work. First bit of knowledge I grabbed from the vids was, move your hands slow. Thanks, Alex. Don't rush it. Don't jump into things. And of course, the same thing applies when playing any kind of music. Don't overthink it. Don't rush transitions. As soon as you start thinking on stage, it's all over. Did I take that advice at that gig? No, I didn't. I did a lot of panicking and a lot of overplaying. The set wasn't terrible, but if I was to have told one of the five people there that it was my first gig back like this since 89, they probably would have said, yeah, that makes sense. I also see lots of posts online from people saying that they're about to play their first live gig, and does anybody have any good advice for them? And it's always take it slow. Not sure what's going to come up when you hit that volume knob? Fade it in slowly. In a modular setup, there's lots of extra encoders and sliders that you can bump and really send your set in the wrong direction. Again, moving slow helps in preventing accidental adjustments like that. The headspace you're in while you're on stage performing can make a huge difference as well. That's most likely why some folks, myself included, like a nice quiet and relaxing pre-show. Sometimes you're forced to take it slow. If you've ever been lucky or unlucky enough to take the stage hungover, you probably know what I'm talking about. And I know a few guys who can play amazing when hungover, just fully laid back and in the pocket. I guess because, you know, their brain is operating at half capacity. I don't recommend doing that, though. I feel like I had a decent amount of restraint while performing tonight's set. It's hard not to turn everything on at once, or, you know, to hold back a part or a great sound until the end, having it, you know, pop up only once through the set. It's a constant battle to not get too excited while playing, for me, anyway. Time moves slower on stage. Or does it move faster? Anyway, enjoy the set. I'm Jeff Haysalt, and I'm at the controls. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to Current Fantasy on The Hawk, 101.5 FM in Hamilton. We'll be right back.
Thank you. connect with, communicate with, and align itself to this greater Gaian holism, which is sometimes called nature, the great spirit, the realm of the ancestors. But this is what the archaic mind understood and was comfortable with. And in fact, it is true. Our own decision to view the universe as dead, as inanimate, as unintelligent, allowed us, permitted us to dissect it, use it, and deny its validity outside of human purpose. Now the consequences of living like that is coming back to haunt us. You know, we have almost destroyed our home. We have almost cut the earth from beneath our own feet. So this impulse toward the Gaianic and the archaic is a survival instinct at this point. We must give reverence and credence to nature and nature's methods, because no other methods will allow us to work our way out of the present mess we're in. High temperature, high energy resource extraction, commodification, mega agriculture, we're at the end of the road for these things. So the archaic holds answers, but it only holds answers if we are willing to think of the universe as a living, intelligent entity with which we are in partnership, not set against, but that in fact we are part of a morphogenetic intent and an unfolding reality that is larger than human understanding. Imagine, larger than human understanding. Well, it's a kind of, it's an organism, yes. And the galaxy is a kind of an organism. You can think of it as a fractal resonance with the cell. The galaxy has a nucleus of very dense material where very mysterious processes are going on. Then it has a cytoplasmic envelope of stars and gas clouds that surround that core. And then it is an individual, very distinctly defined by the vast emptiness that lies between it and the next galaxy. Yes, I think nature builds by fractal intent, and that all organisms have a core and then a deployed surround, whether we're talking about the cell, the solar system, the Earth, the galaxy. In the process of the conservation of novelty, structures are created with cores that are more complex than their outlying neighborhoods. To my mind, a galaxy hanging in space is a picture of the time wave. Every star is a data point in an enormous computer simulation of the Milky Way. That's why it has that spiral structure. You know, scientists are very puzzled that the galaxies don't fly apart. They don't seem to have enough mass that their gravitation should hold them together. And there's been a lot of talk about dark matter or some missing factor. Well, the missing factor is novelty. The galaxy stays together because the galaxy wants to be a galaxy. In other words, it wants to hold on to the level of novel morphology that it has achieved. It has an actual appetite for expressing itself in that form. That's why the galaxies are spirals. And in a sense, those spirals are very large pictures of the time wave, where we can at last see it, not confused with its background or foreground. So everything organizes itself fractally, spirally, with a dense center in its spatial domain and a dense center in its temporal domain. We are like this. Galaxies are like this. Planets, stars, bird flocks, coral reefs. But in the case of the galaxy, it's particularly easy to observe the structure because the thing is so huge that its forces dominate and damp out other forces. In the case of the distorted, it's sort of riddled by the enemy and the surface.
And that's it. You've been listening to Current Fantasy on CIOI, The Hawk, 101.5 FM in Hamilton. All the music featured in the last hour has been performed live off the floor, written, improvised, and manipulated by myself. There's lots more music and videos at currentfantasy.com, and you can find my music on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music, Bandcamp, and everywhere else that you get your tunes. Thanks very much for tuning in tonight. Back next week, same time, for more Electronic Encounters. Until then, stay safe, stay happy. I'm Jeff Haysalt. Good evening.
Broadcasting on campus at Mohawk College in Hamilton. This is CIOI-FM. 101.5 The Hawk. Thank you.